Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Face Us. We are 2024. We're Face Us Radio, everyone. The radio show, this is where we listen to your voice and talk about the corruption we all face every day in our courts. America's courts have been co-opted by organized crime organizations operating under the color of law to defraud their victims of life, property, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We, the people, must confront the perpetrators of these crimes to have any hope of creating transparency and accountability in our courts and repairing our legal system. We stand with you to create this accountability. It's time to face us. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Face Us Radio, Block Talk Radio, Hidden Truth Revealed, and this is the Inside Scoop. Today is January 10th, 2024, everyone. Finally, 2024. I'm here with, let's see how many co-hosts I have tonight. I do have Hillary. Let me bring her on. Hillary, say hello to everyone. Hillary, are you with us? Hold on a second. She'll be back on with us as soon as she can. Hold on a second. I'm trying to bring her live. Hillary.
There I am. Here I am. Welcome, everyone.
Hi.
And again, Luann, thank you for letting me be part of the show for many, many years. And to our listeners, it's a new year. It's an invigorating feeling to start another year of advocating for the elderly and the disabled and people who don't have a voice, who are in lockdown facilities as we speak and are begging to get out from under the guardianship system throughout the country. This is what we do. We do it gratis. We don't get paid. And I'm fired up. And I know Luann is and the rest of the advocates. And we're ready to go because we stand proud in fighting for the disabled.
Right.
And
we took a month off. We usually do for the holidays. And it's just very much well-deserved. I tell you, I really needed the break, but we are fired up. We're ready to get back. We will stay live every Wednesday, probably until June. And then I'll take another 3 or 4 weeks off during June, and then we come back for the rest of the year, and then we take off December. So 10 months is not bad to have this radio show live. So everybody, bear with us. It's going to be a great show tonight. I think we have Marcy. Marcy's with us as well. Marcy, say hello to everybody. Hey, Marcy.
Welcome back.
Marcy.
It's like the show.
Welcome back.
We're coming back, and we're coming back stronger. Been away with this guardianship where there is no question that it is corrupted.
Right.
And I think I'm allowed to say that. I think Hamas was in the United States because what we have all experienced, it's no different than the Jewish people experienced, the
Great
harms
point.
That is being done, the injuries that are being done. And so thankfully the truth is out and it's really up to God and for God to continue to put strong people that have a strong voice that want to speak their experiences and that they don't want to turn the other cheek. They don't want that to be done to another person. And it's, to me, it's elder cruelty, in my opinion. My opinion is horrible, but hey, you know, Luann, you're doing a great job, not just only in your state, but nationwide to have the show. Hillary's doing an amazing job out on the West Coast and getting it out in the news. And I've been working really hard on nonprofit organizations and locally with the elder, I'm thinking too fast. with the Committee of Elder Affairs in the city. And like I'm working with, I don't even want to say till I meet with them. But that I'm doing it because if you concentrate like with a radio show and then concentrate with organizations, we all do the best we can with what the talents that God has given us. And the more people that you do target, the more people that you talk to and the organizations, they get it out to their members. And because everybody just wants to be safe.
Exactly. And we've been talking a lot on these shows, you know, lately about the broken and corrupt nature of the guardianship system. And it's not basically just the guardianship part of the probate court scamming going on. It's the whole complete package. You know, I've been writing this book, and I've been putting a lot of issues in there across the country. And it's taken a long time to write this book because it's huge, everybody. The thing that's going on is the most disturbing facts I have ever witnessed in my life that's happening to the disabled, the elderly, people that are handicapped. Basically, I can't even tell you how many different age people there are involved that get into the probate trap. And it's awful, everybody. We're just going to keep talking about these issues. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and bring on our guest. But first of all, I want to, as 2024 starts off, we're keeping the victims in prayers and the families in prayers, and hopefully we can free some of them people this year. You know, everybody deserves justice for everyone, everybody. Anyway, we're going to welcome our guest tonight. Her name is Sharon McLean, and she's a Navy veteran from Tampa, Florida. Her heartbreaking case highlights the broken and corrupt nature of the guardianship system in the U.S., which continues to harm vulnerable individuals. And tonight is part one, and a couple of weeks she'll come back on. Tonight she's going to talk about her story and why she's here, and that her mom was under a 9 month of mistreatment under court-appointed guardian Tracy Samuel Hudson, and she was arrested and later sentenced to 8.5 years, and she pleaded guilty to 19 felonies, and she got 20 years probation, and she has restitution to pay. So, and we all know the abuse and the exploitation is one of the worst things I have ever encountered in nation. And I'm telling you, we're going to bring her on and talk about it. I've got a lot of people already texting me. I'm sitting here looking at these, and they are already asking questions about everything going on. So we're going to get the show started. So let's go ahead, and girls, we're going to go ahead and bring Sharon on. I'm trying to do six things at once. I'm multitasking here. Sharon, are you with us right now?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Uh-huh. Everybody here? Okay?
Hi, Sharon. Welcome. Thanks for coming.
Yes, thanks for inviting me. I was on this show, I want to say, four years ago, before Tracy was arrested. And of course, we all learn every day something new. And I think that the focus is not just on the probate and the court. I think it involves so many variables that people have no clue. We're talking about facilities, doctors, professionals that took an oath to do no harm. And it's amazing that so many people are so involved. It's like a huge spider web. And at the center of the spider web is basically, for lack of a better cliche, the root of all evil, money.
Right.
Everybody crawling onto that spider web trying to get money any which way they can. One hand feeds the other. Facilities have to keep people in their facilities, so they've got a group of guardians, not just Tracy. In one of Tracy's
facilities, there were other guardians, and at any given time, they had 15 or 20 wards of the state, as they like to call them. I like to call them victims. But, I mean, you know, when you've got a revolving door of participating and willing facilities and doctors and specialists and realtors and nobody is speaking up, nobody,
mm-hmm.
because they
mm-hmm.
want to keep their job or because it won't happen to them or they just don't care. You know, it's amazing the amount of people that are involved to keep this whole broken system working like clockwork.
Right. Yeah, and it's really hard to figure out who exactly there is to trust in the system. You really don't know where to go, what to do. You're really lost. And I felt like that with my family. I didn't know what there was to do. We went to the senators, we went to the governors. I explained this all in our book what happened, but there's really nowhere to go to. And that's the problem we're all having.
Because they all have, Luann, they all have the same method of operation. It's like a playbook.
Yeah,
it's like
the whole playbook.
I
mentioned that in our book. It's going to be coming out in about 2 or 3 months. It's the whole playbook scenario, but it's intense to write, man. And I think, oh my gosh, this book is too intense. But you know what? It's happening every single day. We hear victims every single day. I cannot go without a day that I hear a new story or I get 3 or 4 more messages on my messenger saying, hey, can you help me? I heard about you. Where do I go? My family's in guardianship. My mom's in guardianship. My dad's in guardianship. My uncle, my cousin, my nephew. I am to the point of where I am. A world crisis, everybody. That's how I believe. What do you guys feel about that? What do you feel about that, Sharon?
I think it's America's dirty little secret. You know, we're too busy worrying about having Walmart open 24/7, drinking beer on Saturday and watching Flavor of the Month sports. You know, what season are we in now? I think football's wrapping up. So what's everybody going to be concentrating on? What's the new sport? Basketball? I don't watch sports. You know, fortunately, unfortunately, I don't know how anybody wants to their opinion, but I was out of the country for 14 years from the age of 20 to 35. And I just cannot believe, I mean, sure, I came to visit every year, see my mother, take her to Tallahassee to see the family. But I just could not believe that this country went from, I don't even know, I have no words to describe how the nuclear family has fallen apart. People, you know, elderlies isolated by their own family, nothing to do with guardianship, just down here in Florida trying to live. And you know, if they see or hear from their kids or their grandkids, they're just, you know, the chosen few. And so many people are just low-hanging fruit for these predators to go out and target. I mean, it's Tracy Samuel Hudson, before she was arrested, had purchased a huge, huge house in the middle of nowhere, except it was on the outskirts of a huge retirement community called Sun City. And that was to be her next focus. You know, she drained Hillsborough and Pinellas. You know, she got all she could get out of us. So she's going to go over to this huge, huge retirement place and just continue, you know. One of her attorneys, we did research, and before she came to Pinellas, she has set up real estate offices in 6 different counties in the state of Florida, averaging 2 years at each location. So, I mean, you know, when people, and this attorney, by the way, left the state of Florida and is now practicing law in the state of Washington, not held accountable for anything that she did. And right. It's just amazing how people can hop, skip, and jump all over the country and keep on doing and leave a trail behind them of
right.
devastated families.
So this is what we're going to do now. So Sharon, what we're going to do now is I'm going to bring in Robin. He's one of our other co-hosts. He's been kind of not in the loop with us lately. But Robin, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Robin.
Hi.
Happy birthday, Robin.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You could have started with that, Luann. It's his birthday.
I know. He caught me by surprise when he came on. So Robin is our other co-host. Him and I have been doing these shows for like almost 8 years. And then Marcy joined us and then Hillary. So we've got a really good crew that has come on, really good, great amount of advocates. So Robin, as 2024 starts off, What is it that you want to see happen in our nation? We might as well take it off from there, and then we're going to talk to Sharon to find out exactly how she got involved in the whole probate issue. So go ahead, Robin. What do you think?
Well, I'm beginning to see a nation of people that are starting to wake up, I hope, I believe. I look around, and it seems to me that more and more people are sort of opening their eyes. I think, you know, the whole COVID pandemonium kind of caused people to take a hard look because they started to see that not everything that they were being told was accurate or true. And this was on the heels of the whole, Brittany's situation. And so people are starting to realize something that I've known for many years, and that is that our government is in the pocket of certain individuals and industries, and they really don't have anything to do with trying to be good government for the people because they don't consider themselves to work for the people. They have corporate sponsors that give them huge amounts of money. People go into office making, you know, a couple of $100,000 a year, and 3 years later they come out with tens of millions or hundreds of millions. And that's no accident. It's that they have this sponsorship by these huge organizations. And so people are starting to wake up to this. And
right.
I just hope that that proceeds at a pace that allows us to do something to stop it, because the court corruption that we're seeing is one branch of a larger tree. And that larger tree is what I'm looking at and seeing and talking about. Because we really have to, as a nation, deal with the whole, with corruption on a massive, massive scale that is working its way through the entire body politic of the whole nation. And so it's like we're in a situation where really there's very little hope unless the people wake up to what's going on, and in a very large way. Now, we're seeing a lot of that. I just hope that it's enough, fast enough, to make a difference in some of these levels where we're on the front lines. We're battling this every time we come on the radio and talk about it. That's firing off shots in a war to try to end the corruption that we see around us. But we're one little branch of a very large tree. So I'm hoping that that the people recognize that the power that these individuals are using comes from us not taking our own power in our own hands and exercising it in a meaningful way. And so they're able to take the power from the people who don't use it and don't know they have it and think, well, I'm just one person, what can I do? And because people aren't willing to or don't believe they are able to stand up and fight for what is right in our nation and throughout this world, evil prospers because good people do nothing, and we've got to stop doing nothing and take action, and that's what I hope to see.
Well, you know, I don't know if you know that the legislation filed to reform Florida's guardianship system. The Representative Rita Harris, a Democrat, has filed the House Bill 887 to reform Florida's guardianship system. And to would specify in visitation and guardianship rights for court-determined incapacitated persons. But they don't always incapacitate the person, like obviously you know about my mother, who had been suffering from Alzheimer's and dementia. And the psychiatrist incapacitated her from the examination committee, and then the courts failed to incapacitate her, and then she ended up having all those problems. So this bill, which has the Republican co-sponsor in the state of Senate, takes a step to improve Florida's guardianship system. So hopefully, we're being very, very hopeful. And, you know, I met with Senator Ileana Garcia, and that she was very interested to hear about my mother's story. And I brought in Ray, and we presented the bill to her. So that's showing hope. Yeah. And and this is showing hope. Whether it's going to pass, I don't know if it is. I hope the Florida bar will want to pass it, because in the times that we weren't there, they were opposing everything. So
Marcy, that's really, really good. But I was talking earlier today with somebody, and the bottom line is, it's really sad that what we already have in place is not being enforced. There is rules, there are laws, and they're not being enforced. And that would be great if new people in the politician arena can actually get interested and understand. I remember Hillary trying to talk to Governor DeSantis. Oh, call my office. Oh, I don't know anything about that. Oh, email me. Oh, this. Oh, that. And you cannot imagine all the senators and congressmen and the governor and all the way to Washington, D.C. And it's very alarming that especially in a state that the demographics are what they are, that these people that are supposed to be representing the state of Florida citizens have no clue about guardianship, nor do they even seem interested. DeSantis is out somewhere now, not even taking care of Florida. He's trying to get elected to be the president. I don't want to talk politics, but, you know, if you can't deal with Florida, I'm not really sure how you would deal with the rest of the country. But it's really sad that all the laws and the rules and the regulations that are in place are totally, totally being ignored. So I think that hopefully.
Hold on a second. What was that, Marcy?
Due process is being ignored, and they are denying jury trials. And they need to be more transparent, and they need to follow the rule of law, which you're right, we have in place, and they're not
Hillary,
doing it.
Have they gotten a database together yet that has every single guardian? Has that database been implemented since it's been talked about for so many years now?
I'm sorry, say that again, Cheryl.
So Hillary can answer
the
that.
The database.
Hillary? Hold on a second. Hillary, can
you answer
that?
Yeah, that's who I was asking, was Hillary.
Yeah, Hillary. Go ahead, Hillary.
So what was the question? Has the database been implemented?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Do we have a list of all the guardians?
We have a list of the guardians, but I'll tell you something. I was on a Zoom meeting with Ken Burke, and I count him as my friend. No matter what anyone says about Ken Burke, he's done more than anyone that we know. But it has been implemented, but it's funny you mentioned that, Sharon, because he was talking about OPPG is supposed to give data to the clerk's office every month, And they, he goes, for 4 months, they didn't give us any information. So it's nonsense, and the database is worthless because the only people that can look at it is the judge and the attorneys and the guardians, I believe. So it's useless. But if I could switch lanes very, very quickly, I just want to mention one thing, that Sharon McLean, myself, Kelly Dussault, and Lisa Martino, who was physically removed from her home for standing up to what's going on in the guardianship system in Florida. We were sued for a restraining order. And Sharon, I found it the other day when I was trying to, you know, purge some things. And don't forget, as we speak, Tracy Hudson is in prison somewhere in Ocala. She's in for eight years.
She's in Lowell Correctional Institution.
Lowell.
And it's really ironic that I was invited by a prison ministry group to, I had no clue that was the prison that they were going to. And they invited me, and the week before I was to do my training, and I fell and I smashed my face. I was in no condition I look like I'd been beat up in a prison, okay? And I said, okay, I'll go to the next one. And then when I found out where they were going, and it was a whole weekend retreat, and, you know, all the prisoners will go and do anything to get out of whatever. It doesn't matter why they attend the workshops. But I was like, I was not going to be ready to possibly confront her in that situation. And it was just a blessing that I fell and hurt myself, because it'll be a long time before I could probably see her in person and keep quiet. Let's just put it that way.
Right. Right. But the reason, Sharon, that I bring the restraining order up, so don't forget, we all complained. We called all of the government agencies that were made to take complaints and to take action on, in this case, guardians, right? So we were told we were conspiracy theorists. So Hatu Dow and Tracy Hudson, they sued us. And what, just number one in the introduction.
Don't forget the slander and the libel.
Exactly.
It wasn't just a restraining order. It wasn't just a restraining order. They were going to sue us for slander and libel.
Right. And Sharon, this is actually the one, you're right, that I have in front of me. So just knowing that she's in jail now and was convicted and pled guilty, listen to this crock of you-know-what. Tracy Hudson has been the victim of the attacks from a vicious, persistent, and unrelenting vigilante mob. That would be Sharon and I, Lisa and Kelly. As they've been engaged in a middle-aged vigilante mob, and have engaged in a systematic and coordinated attack against guardian Tracy Hudson for nearly 2 years. Hudson, the guardian, is the victim of these attacks and the target of these defendants for one reason only, because she has accepted appointments to be a guardian in Pinellas and Hillsborough County. Because these defendants, Sharon and I, generally object to the way guardianship proceedings in the state are conducted. The defendants, both collectively and individually, have made countless false reports to law enforcement, investigative agencies. They have blanketed the internet with countless false, defamatory, and malicious statements made against the plaintiff. So here you go in writing. It looks like we are like vicious attackers. Fast forward, she gets arrested.
Hillary. There were specific examples in Judge Campbell's chambers. Okay, Tracy's attorneys called United Healthcare, where I worked, and told them that they were harboring a criminal, that I should be fired, and yada, yada, yada. And, of course, I had to go into a conference room and deal with the attorneys from United Healthcare and my site director. And imagine, the attorney started off with, I am so sorry that you have to go through this. And put Tracy's attorneys on notice that if they ever, ever emailed me, came to the security to get into the building, stepped a foot in the parking lot, that they would go after Tracy and her attorneys. They couldn't call because I don't have a number that you can reach me. I'm in a secured area and I'm on a computer all day. And the attorney told me that it took him weeks to go through all the emails that I had begged every agency that was supposed to be doing oversight, and that all he could see was a poor woman trying to get help for her mother, and all pleas were ignored. And it's really interesting that Tracy and two attorneys and a bailiff in Judge Campbell's chambers sat there in front of Priscilla, my daughter, who was 17 at the time, and literally cried and told Judge Campbell that I was the scariest person that they had ever encountered, and how down, I don't even know how to properly say her name because we have a nickname for her, which I will not, out of being mature, will not call her. But she literally said in all her days of prosecuting that I was the scariest person. They didn't sleep at night. They were afraid that I was going to come to where they lived or their business, which I didn't have no clue where either place were. I'd never been there. I'm working 10, 12 hours a day, 5 days a week. I don't have time to be driving an hour and a half to see where somebody may or may not live or work.
But
and
Sharon,
Judge Campbell sits there and
you?
Says, oh,
yeah.
This is very serious.
Hold on a second. Hillary, go ahead.
Sharon, let me again, a little laughter in a terrible situation. I'll never forget when we had a court hearing in Tampa on Twig Street, and normally the police would hold us back and let Tracy and her attorneys go to their car first because they said they were in such fear of the middle-aged vigilante mob. But this day, we all walked together to the parking lot, you know, and Hobtu Dow, the guardian's attorney, was parked right next to me. And I said, Miss Dow, and she goes, what? I said, your mother must be very proud. She's raised a criminal, you know. But it's just so Tracy gets arrested, and, of course, they drop the libel slander suit right away. And it's the system is broken and it needs to be demolished because
Hillary, you know what's
right.
interesting to me?
So hold on a second.
You know what's really interesting?
Sharon, hold on a second. We've got some feedback going on in the background. So if you're not talking, please mute your phone so I can try to figure out where this is coming from, if you could do that. And let's try not to speak over each other. We've got to be really cautious because we are.
Yeah, there's a delay. There's a delay.
Right. So let's go back a little bit. We basically want to get out of this show tonight. We want to basically get out how broken and corrupt the nature of the guardianship system is. Now, we've talked about how a whole team of people got together and they were basically character assassinated by all these other individuals that were protecting Tracy, the guardian, that was later on convicted of like 19 felonies. So we go back to the time of we're all sitting in the courtroom. She gets convicted, and she goes into jail. She's got to pay back restitution. And I know there's a lot of families out there, a lot of families that don't get restitution. I've heard people sitting in the courtroom saying, I won't get any because I wasn't in that county. How do you guys feel about that? I mean, I know she got busted on some of these cases, but there's a lot of families that did not get restitution. What do you feel about that? I'm going to start off with you, Sharon, first.
Well, I can tell you right now. I called the prosecutor's office and I wanted to do a victim impact statement, my daughter and I. Oh, only the people that the 19 felonies were pressed, you know, that those charges came through. And you have to remember, in the very beginning, there were only two felony charges against her. And that was a silver lining, like Austin said. Robin, I don't know why I called you Austin, but Robin said that during COVID, there were many silver linings, and one of them being that they actually had time to go back and reinvestigate cases. And it's very ironic that myself, the first person who blew the whistle 2 weeks after I met Tracy, 2 weeks. Uh-huh. My mother's case and two other people's case, and I'm not going to say their name because they're still in legal and in litigation. But the bottom line is I told her, how is it that I opened the can of worms to go fishing and I'm being excluded? And then, you know, it was like, oh, okay, well, you know, go back to Largo PD. The very PD who had Officer Quattlebaum along with the DCF adult investigator who told me that Tracy was the best thing since sliced bread. She would take over my mother and this is what was going to happen. And the bottom line is, because we complained and because Hillary would drive all the way from Naples up to Pinellas County, God bless you, Hillary, and because we were so adamant and we would not give up, it was almost like the three of us were systematically punished. I don't really care about the money. I want somebody to explain to me how my mother was premeditated. I was told that she got a new pacemaker. My mother didn't get any medical care. When I tried to tell the administration at the nursing home that she needs physical therapy and that it's covered under Medicare and her private insurance, I was told only Tracy can ask for that. She doesn't want it. Your mother doesn't get it. Go away. Go away. Every single person that... So the bottom line, like you said, restitution, it's not about being in a different county. It's about the charges that were brought up. Who was exactly covered in those charges? And another interesting fact is, other than Ryan Moore, who got his father out of guardianship before he passed away, is included in the restitution, and that's all just and fair. And it might be just and fair that the other people that were included in those 19 felonies, yes, they deserve restitution, but it's really strange that none of them came forward, none of them complained, none of them thought anything wrong about all of this until the three of us and Hillary made mountains and mountains. And I have such a paper trail of emails,
yeah, right,
that it's unbelievable. And it only is just another slap in the face. Imagine I'm told that we're not victims because they did not properly investigate,
right,
my mother's case.
Right.
So
another thing I want to bring up is that this whole nation, and along with TS Radio, Marty Oakley's radio with Cause, we've all been going over the Stuart Hanty case and that Roger Hilligus case, and they just recently, the judge there just recently orders anonymous jury in the Hilligus Hanty kidnapping case. Now, in a way, they're talking about how a whole bunch of advocates have all come together and there's a whole bunch of people involved. And it's kind of like we're being looked at as a vigilante family or something. You know what I mean?
We're
Robin,
being
I know
handled.
You'll help me on this one. But they're looking
we're
at
being
us.
We're being handled.
Like, yeah. And it's kind of like how they're pinning this on us as they're, oh, we're coming after them and we're vigilantes. I'm really appalled by that situation. We are just concerned for our elders.
We are either concerned citizens or we have directly, let me tell you something. If I knew about this 20 years ago, I would have made it my lifelong mission. Because when you see something, you either, what is the cliche? You either stand for something or you fall for everything. And bottom line is Yeah, because what are they going to do? All these judges, all these attorneys, all these people involved, they're not going to take any responsibility or accountability. Hillary, look at who quit. As soon as Tracy was arrested, Carol Berkowitz.
Well, they're looking at us like a big mob of vigilantes. And I'm telling you, I am no vigilante. I am just, my mother was caught in the whole probate trap as well. You know, so I speak out for thousands of people that are being put into a guardianship unnecessarily. I mean, we have so
and they don't have a voice.
Family members that can take care of our loved ones. I bet you 99% of those cases out there that are put into a guardianship, 99% of their families are willing to come forward to take care of them. Maybe 90%.
But then they wouldn't get all the money, Luann. Then they wouldn't get all their money.
Exactly. So that's what that's.
They wouldn't get all the property. They wouldn't. And listen.
Right.
And what's collateral in them getting all this money is our parents and our loved ones' life. Like the
right.
They're just collateral. They're just in the way.
Right.
They're an ends to they're a means to the end.
Right. So I was writing up your story earlier, Sharon, and you talked a lot about how your mother, her name was Peggy, she was a dedicated
right.
volunteer of a food pantry, and she passed away of enduring 9 months of mistreatment under the court-appointed Tracy, right? So tell us a little bit about that, and I know that... like I said, she's in prison and all that. But how do you feel about today? What happened to your mother?
Well, it's this simple. You know, I was born and raised here. I'm patriotic even till today. When I lived overseas, I marched my little butt to the embassy to vote. You know, I joined the military after high school. It's funny enough, I was groomed by my family and my teachers to actually become an attorney. And when I did my internship with a judge in Tampa, Florida, and they call him Judge Hanging Harry Coe, who, by the way, ended his life by committing suicide because he couldn't deal with all the things that were about to happen to him. Anyway, to make a long story short, I was hospitalized in 2016. I was only supposed to be there for 3 to 5 days. Unfortunately, as my surgeon came in and apologized, anything that could go wrong did go wrong. So during that 4 months of my being inpatient, my daughter starts telling me things that are going on in the house. And I was like beside myself. I'm hooked up to all these machines. And meanwhile, my daughter and my mom are being exploited and abused by a drug-addled half-brother who's in and out of jail, in and out of everybody's lives, wrecking havoc. The guy's been in and out of rehab and in and out of the court system since he was 15 or 16 years old. To make a long story short, I was told, call the elder hotline. Report that. They will go and they will fix everything for you. And like an idiot, okay, hindsight is great. Like an idiot, I had full faith that the people that were going to report within 24 hours and investigate, and this is what I was told was going to happen, and it was nothing but the beginning of a nightmare.
Right.
You know, I was told that Tracy was going to be the temporary guardian and for me to get an attorney, and her own attorney gave me, get this, Hillary, gave me all the names that Tracy and all the probate attorneys in Pinellas County that were networking with each other. They were either the ward's attorney or they were a court appointed attorney, and it was a little network. She actually gave me all these attorneys to call, and every single one of them, and everything I say is backed up by email. I have emails
right.
for everything. And
right.
every single one of them told me it was a conflict of interest. Of course it was. So when it came time for the permanent hearing, I was told by some other attorneys outside of Pinellas County, forget it. It's corrupt. It's a mess. And there is no way that she's going to let go of that temporary guardianship. And by the way, Marcy, there's a rule that the guardian that is temporary guardian is not supposed to be appointed the permanent guardian. Okay. That was the rule was broken. And not only did they not allow me into the, I've read those rules and what's on the books that's supposed to be followed so many times that I guess I should have gone to law school. Anyway, the bottom line is Tracy and the attorney that was supposed to be working for my mother and Tracy's attorney, which is her first or last name, came out of the courtroom and said, if you don't like it, get an attorney, knowing that I'd already contacted all the attorneys and was told that it was a conflict of interest. And then the DCF investigator and the officer Quattlebaum from Largo PD, who you can go back and see in pictures with Tracy talking to elderly people at a nursing facility, telling them how she will solve all their problems. They don't have to worry about their kids being involved in their affairs, and she'll be their savior. You know, just sign on the dotted line, and I'll take care of your stuff for you. Yeah, I bet, okay? We see how well she took care of everybody's stuff. Anyway, I started complaining from the get-go. Tracy was supposed to get a restraining order. She was set up with the liaison officer at Largo PD, another woman who specializes in restraining orders. She was supposed to freeze my mother's assets so they could no longer be stolen. And she was supposed to take my mother to the doctor let me take my mother to the doctor, because at this time she was she hadn't done the whole complete Dr. Jekyll, Dr. Hyde. She was stringing me along just to placate me, but she had her own agenda. She let convicted criminals stay. Imagine somebody's raped, violated, stolen from, and they are forced to live with the perpetrators in their house. Imagine. So meanwhile, there's no restraining order. There's nothing. Nothing from the bank. Nothing is done.
Right. So tell me. So after all this, you went and you complained and nothing happened. So
happened. They told me that I was delusional. Are you there?
Right.
Yeah, we're here.
They told me I was delusional. They told me that that this is the way it's going to be, whether I like it or not. And listen, when I say I complained, and I started thinking, okay, you're crazy, Sharon. You're absolutely nuts. All these people are correct, and you're the nuts. And then I said, wait a second. Let me go in. Thank God Florida is public records. I was trying to help somebody in California, and they have to pay a dollar for every single piece of paper they want to look at, much less print. Anyway, I started saying to myself, well, either I'm crazy or this whole thing is just really ludicrous. Anyway, I started looking, researching. That's part of my natural job that I do all day long anyway. And I came along with this person, and I saw where she wasn't very happy with Tracy. And I made the phone call, and she was so paranoid. She said, oh, I don't know. Maybe you're working for Tracy. I'll have to meet you. And I drove across the bridge over to Tampa from Clearwater, met this person, brought somebody else as a witness, and lo and behold, we shared the same sentiments, the same situation. And then lo and behold, we found somebody else. Now, I will tell you, I did find other people, but I told them we cannot include anybody that does not have a spotless background. You have to be credible. If if we can't bring in somebody that is not going to be a credible person. And here we were, three credible, upstanding citizens following the law. I mean, and the bottom line is it just went from bad to worse. They were going to turn us into non-credible people. And I mean, at one point I had people telling me, just grab your mom and hightail it to Tallahassee where the family is. I said, oh, really? I won't make it past the county line. Okay.
Right.
I've got a minor. I won't make it past the county line. I'll be in jail for custodial interference. You know, just like the many times I was drugged into the judge's chamber for custodial interference.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. What would you tell somebody right now how they could get a loved one out of guardianship? Because I've got several people listening. Their loved ones have guardians. They can't visit them. They're not allowed to send them care packages. They're not allowed to visit them. And nobody will listen to these people that this is going on. What would you recommend?
Well, they better tread very, very carefully. And they better dot their I's and their Q's. It's a very slippery slope. You think that the law is on your side, which it should be if you're not guilty of anything. I would advise, and I can only go by what happened in Hillsborough and Pinellas County. And here's how that worked. All the attorneys in Hillsborough and Pinellas that we would want to go get, they are more than willing to take your money. But the bottom line is it's throwing good money after bad. I know several people, Hillary, you do too, that paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for I don't know how many different attorneys who they were convinced by the same attorneys that they would be able to help them. And it was all a lie. There was no way they were going to be able to help them. And the one attorney that we know, Leslie, you know who I'm talking about, Hillary. She had the audacity to stand up and fight for people. She was from another area. And what did they do? They turned around and filed complaints against her with the bar. And they decided to take a perfectly innocent attorney who wanted to fight the system and to the point where they were going to censor her and punish her. And I cannot tell you how many attorneys have told me we wouldn't go near elder affairs.
So let me ask you another question.
There's no playbook on how to get your person out of guardianship. Hillary can tell you how she got her dad out.
Okay, so hold on. So you're talking about that you really can't get an attorney. What can you do? I mean, is there everybody just bend over?
You better start a paper trail like I did. You better start a paper trail.
You need to know your rights. Read all the guardianship laws and know your own rights. And
you need to start a paper trail.
You better
complain to all the right people and not in an accusing way. And delivery is everything, okay? That's why I still have my job. I did not go in and try to act crazy and just start nilly-willy, you know, blah, blah. There are certain things you can do or can't do, and it doesn't matter that they...
Yeah, I know. You have to do it professionally.
You need to know your rights,
I know you have to go in there and say, well, this son of a bitch, you can't talk like that. You have to talk really?
No, you cannot, and you cannot accuse people. You cannot accuse people of crimes they haven't been convicted of either. That is slander. You can't call somebody a murderer until they're a convicted murderer. Okay?
Right.
You can't, there's a lot of things you can't do. It doesn't matter that they're breaking your rights. And Marcy, we all know our rights. People might not know what the guardianship rules are and every state is different. Every state is different.
So really,
every county is different.
Well, you also need to know the statutes. So whenever,
well, that's what
the
laws
the
are.
Bad player that you hire says something to you, then you can say, well, this is the statute. You need to learn your statute. Because when I started doing that.
You can learn the statutes, but unless they're enforced.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they're enforced, Marcy, you can learn all you want, you know. I mean, it's the bottom line is there's no certain way. Yes, we were extremely fortunate. Extremely fortunate. I cannot tell you how many people told me Tracy will never do a day in jail. And I said, stop being negative. I don't care if she does one day in jail. I don't really care that she only got 8.5 years on a sweet plea deal. I don't care about any of that. The bottom line is she will never be allowed to hurt anybody again. And
right.
On top of that, we put everybody on notice. And if we keep on going and work, Like you said, Marcy, each of us has our own talents. Hillary has hers. Luann has hers. Julie Belshi in Nevada has hers.
Yeah.
All of us have a certain thing that we can do. But I would say, you know, obviously know before you go. And, you know,
yeah.
Don't just like going off half-cocked. Don't threaten people.
Right.
You know,
so
but you have to do it in an organized fashion.
Right. So the best thing
if
is that
I
tell
I'd
everybody.
Love to interject a word here.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Robin.
I'm hearing the right answers. The answer is yes. You have got to learn the statutes that are being violated by the individuals that you're trying to hold responsible. You've got to learn the court procedures for presenting those statutes in court in a way that the judge is honor bound to listen to you. Now, you've got to do that, even though in many cases you're going to discover that the judge doesn't give a damn if you do, and they're not going
exactly.
to listen, and they're not going to do the right thing. However, the fact is, sometimes the best you will be able to do is to do things in the right way, using the right language, citing the statutes, showing that the laws are being broken, and doing your best to get those things properly into court filings that then become a part of a record that becomes a legal record. And that might be the best that you can do. You might not be able to do any better than that. But you must aim at the highest target that you can aim for and do your best to accomplish those things. Because in a perfect world, what you've just done is you're actually creating the paper trail that can convince the right people who do have the power to get these people behind bars for the crimes they're committing. Now, for that to happen is very unusual. We will tell you. We're all advocates here, and our eyes have been opened. These courtrooms are corrupt, and these judges are often, we believe, it is evident on the tape. I mean, they're not doing what's right. They're not following the law. You can have as many laws on the books as you want, and if they're ignoring them, there's not a lot that you can do about that. But you have to keep trying, because the point is, we're on the right side. We're doing the right thing. And if we are able to succeed, we create a better world for our children. And if we are not able to succeed, at least we sleep at night knowing that we have done our damnedest to make this world a better place. And maybe someone will pick up wherever we left off and carry on the fight because they're inspired, because they see that we're willing to put ourselves on the line, get out there and do the thing over and over, pound our head against the damn concrete wall, but it's for a purpose and a reason that matters to make the world a better place. And so we keep doing it, and we keep fighting these fights, even though it may be that it is futile in our particular case. And we may never see our loved one again. We still do everything that we can because that's the right thing for a human being who cares about the quality of life on this planet and the quality of integrity of the society in which we live to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to do your damnedest to do what is right and what is best in a way that you at least are lining up with what is God's law. In other words, you're dealing with people, even people that don't deserve it, with as much courtesy as you can muster, as much honesty as you are capable of, and you're looking at the law with as much capability as you can get together to make sure that you're doing your best to hold these people responsible in a way that does cause the courtroom to show that they are shameful and dirty if they do not respect what you're doing.
And Robin, you hit the head on the nail. My mother's been gone now for 5 years, and I was working full-time, mandatory overtime, and just this past year, I was allowed to work part-time, okay? And I changed my entire future. I was supposed to go overseas, live with my son, raise my granddaughters. I turned my life upside down. And I'm not fighting for my mother anymore. I'm fighting for the people now and the people in the future, that if we give up, it's only going to get worse. It's like we have to get rid of the cancer. You can't cut off the tail for the tail to grow back. We need to cut it off at the neck, the head. And like you said, it's the bigger picture. We have to make people understand you don't have to be involved. Hillary doesn't have to do this. She got her father back. She could live a life, nice life without any of this headache. But she knows that, like you said, you want to sleep at night and you want to meet your maker at the end. I don't want to bring religion into this, but I'm telling you, that's the only thing that got me through all this. And I understand that a lot of people, they have their own religious beliefs, but I do believe at the end of the day, everybody has to meet their maker and everybody will be judged. I'm not here to judge anybody or be judged, but I can, like you said, we can all fight together, and that means together, and at least we know that we didn't give up.
Exactly.
Right.
And Robin, you hit it right on the head. I'm telling you, that was terrific what you just said, because we're all in it. And my mom passed away, it'll be 4 years, but I'm in this fight because it's really hard to listen to these stories every single week and not do something about it. I mean, our show right now, we have helped so many people. And I always tell myself, if I can help two or three a week, a couple a month, I'm there. What do you feel about that, Robin? I know you've been in this a long time.
You know, I honestly lived with a certain kind of shame for a lot of years, because I did learn about a lot of the crimes in high places that were going on. And I thought, oh, wow, when people discover what's going on, then this world is going to change dramatically. And I waited more than 20 years for people to discover what I knew. And it was buried. No one ever discovered it. You know, I was one of a few people that had this inside knowledge, and I just kept quiet about it, because you have to put yourself out there and have people mock you and make fun of you and call you conspiracy theorists and that I didn't want to do. So I didn't talk about these things. And it continued to get worse, and it continued to get worse. And finally I realized, damn, I'm wasting my voice that should be out there and should be heard by not telling people the truth. And I can't care. I can't care whether or not they want to believe me or want to hear what I have to say. If what I have to say is important and true, I've got to go ahead and speak. Because God gave my life to me, and my voice is my voice, God-given to me. And for me to be able to stand before my maker and say, did my best, I have to do my best. I've got to stand up on earth, take my place, and speak out and say, brothers and sisters, this is the way I see it, and I pray and hope that I can convince you to see what I see, so that you can save yourself from horrible crimes that are likely to happen to you if you just dismiss what I'm telling you. So I'm going to plead with you, and I'm going to battle on your behalf, that you will hear me and that you will open your eyes and that you will join with me to reverse the tide on the wickedness and the evil that is rolling across our world. Because if we don't stand together, then we surely will all die separately. You know, I can't remember which of the patriots that signed the Constitution there was who said, if we don't all stand together, we will all hang separately. And that's basically what we're looking at here. We're each of us advocates faces adversity every day because we are advocates. We are, mm-hmm. you know, by standing up for the truth, you will face those who are profiting by the lies. And they're not going to like you. They're going to try to take you down. They're going to want to hurt you. They're going to want to destroy you. They're going to want to silence you. They're going to not want you to be on this planet. And they may do all they can to get rid of you, to stop you, to quiet you down, to silence you. And that is something you just have to face if you're going to stand up for what's right. But it's still the only thing to do if you're going to be a decent human being who can really live with yourself and look yourself in the mirror and say, hey, I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm standing up and saying what I have to say and doing what I have to do to try to make the world a better place, because I've only got this life. I've got this moment of life, and the future isn't guaranteed. But if I don't speak up now, if I don't use the life that I have now, if I don't get in the fight and fight my damnedest, the day may come when I can't fight anymore, and I wish with all my heart that I could go back, and you can't do it. So you got to stand up and fight for what's right while you're living right now today. Get up, get out, and get things done on behalf of justice and truth and what is good and right. Because you don't get a second chance in life. You know, I mean, hey, people believe in reincarnation. That's a fine thing. But this life we're living now and the life that we're creating, the world that we're creating and giving to our children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, that world is in grave danger from horrible criminals who are doing terrible crimes against people every day. And if we don't stand up and stop them, then it's only going to get worse, and we're creating a world where we are sending our heritage to hell in a handbasket. Or we can stop that from happening by standing up and fighting out, you know, fighting. Maybe we can stop it from happening. And you know, there's no guarantee that we'll win, but we won't win if we don't stand up and fight.
Exactly. That's exactly what I wanted to ask you, and I know we've been doing this a long time. So what, besides what we've been doing, I know that there's some legislation going on in Florida, and I know Marcy and Hillary have taken off for the night. So do you think that legislation, I know that when legislators get up and talk about it, it does bring a lot of awareness. But like you were talking earlier, if no one's following the laws, it's not going to help. What do you think about that? Because I know we stood up in front of legislators. Nothing happened. Do you think it's going to bring awareness? Do you think it's still a good idea?
I think it is. I think that we have to fight on every front. You know, legislation is one front in the war. This a war is made up of battles. And if we're winning battles in legislation, that's wonderful. That's great. That is one more battle that might mean that now there's another weapon in the arsenal that we can bring to the war. That, you know, now there's new rules in place that say, hey, you don't do this, you're breaking the law. And now there's one more way to go into a courtroom and say, here, Your Honor, is something you're required to follow that says these people are breaking this law by not letting their kids visit with their mother. So are you going to break the law with them, or are you going to enforce the law? And let's get it on the record, Your Honor. And then Your Honor has to decide if he's going to act in an honorable way and honor the law that he has sworn to protect and uphold or not. And if he does not, then that becomes a part of a court record. And now, so So for that reason, yes, it is important that we do all we can to pass the laws and legislation. It's also important that we learn those things, learn those statutes, learn the things that are enforced in courts so that we can bring them into court and bring them before His Honor or Her Honor, as we're forced to call these people who wear the black dresses and swing the wooden hammer.
And you know what, Robin, you just said something that's really compelling to me, and you talk about how you could stand up in front of a court and you're saying, Your Honor, these people are breaking rules. Are you going to help them break these rules even further? I mean, that to me is something that everybody should be asking these judges. You know, are you going to allow
right.
them to do this to me? Are you going to be right there with them saying that I cannot ever see my mother again? I mean, you need to tell these judges they're breaking the laws by doing this, the humanity laws. You know,
yeah.
it's basically saying.
Problem, though, that's a problem. The judges don't, some of the judges I've seen don't care. They are immune. It is very difficult to have a judge removed from the bench. They are immune, and they've been getting away with it for so long, but we cannot give up. If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. It's that simple. Whether it be in court, whether it be building public awareness, I cannot imagine that two or three times a week, people that I haven't talked to for 20 years are texting me, private messaging me, Sharon, can you give me some advice? I don't know what to do. Sharon, this is going on. Sharon, and I'm like, wow, okay. So I thought that nobody was paying attention. I thought that everybody thought I was just out trying to make trouble. And then when you just, like, one person at a time, like you said, Marcy and Hillary, all of you, we're all on the same page. One person at a time, one grain of sand on the beach, one person arrested, one legislative change, anything that we can do. And I think one of the biggest, huge, huge things is trying to figure out how to build public awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's yeah. a big, huge thing.
Because people don't know.
Let's go ahead and open up the phone lines tonight. And the number to call into our show is 845-241-9962. You press a 1. 845-241-9962. You press a 1. And that'll let me know that you have a question or a comment. And just go ahead and do that real quickly within the next minute or two. But I think we all do. It's really important that we bring public awareness. And that's one reason why Robin and I have been putting a book together. And we talk about, we've been there. We've done that. We've been to government agencies. We did this. We did that. We did this. Now it's public awareness we have to do. And we've been to legislators. We've been to the news media. We've been to the governor. We've been everywhere. Now it's time just to get a book out there and just let people know what's going on. I mean, what else could we
and
do?
Luann,
uh-huh. Go ahead.
Luann, I have an idea. You said that you guys took a break in December. December, mm-hmm. For whatever reason, various reasons, I was spending a lot of time alone, and I started thinking. I said, you know what? I'm going to do what Tracy and her group did. I'm going to go around. I'm going to organize. I'm going to get my act together. And I talked to you before the show tonight. And I've got a couple of different angles I'm going to go at. First of all, I work at United Healthcare. We are very, very big on catching fraud. A lot of these elderly people, they all have Medicare. Some of them have Medicare, Medicaid. The disabled have dual special need plans that cover both. People have commercial insurance. And it would be very interesting to know that the insurance companies definitely want to go after fraud that's being committed. And it's as simple as somebody that Hillary and I both know, we all know her. Her father was ordered a CPAP machine. It was covered by insurance. this person took a photograph of the CPAP still in its original packaging, never opened, in the bottom of her father's closet in the nursing facility. Now, she was trespassed because she took the picture, and she could prove that this is fraud. The guy needed the CPAP machine, but guess what? It wasn't being used, so that's fraud. Can you imagine
right.
how many different things are being done? My other idea was to get together with all the clergy, with the rabbis, with the preachers, with the priest, with anybody and anything having to do with the clergy, and get together a pamphlet, information, and they have community meetings where you could actually go and speak. There's also clubs, the Sertoma, American Legion, Kiwanis. There's all kinds of clubs that people could go and speak to. There's just a variety of different ways. And even if it's just the five or six counties that I'm surrounded by, and, you know, it might take me, I don't know, a year to hit all of them. But if people that are in charge of a congregation know what to look for, hey, Mrs. Jones hasn't been to church in a while. What's going on with her? And the next thing you know, oh, you know, Mrs. Jones is in the process of being determined incapacitated so they can take all her stuff. And meanwhile, she's collateral. Who cares if what happens to her? Because we all know that none of the people that this happens to are being medically cared for and taken care of. Because that's not what the guardianship is about with the corrupt ones. I'm not saying all guardians, but for the ones that are in it for the money, they are not doing anything to take care of what their priority is not the care of the patient, of the ward, or whatever you want to call them, the victim. Mm-hmm. And it's genocide, Marcy. You were telling it's elderly abuse. This is genocide, elderly, in massive thousands, if not millions of elderlies. How many elderly people have gotten a premature death sentence and left to rot away in a facility? And then when everything is liquidated and everything is at the end of the day, they're gone. Nobody fighting for them. Nobody even knows what happened to them. So there's a lot of different ways. I was just brainstorming, and I'm going to reach out to different people. And, you know, I can try to do what I can do up here.
I think that's a good idea. I think anything that anybody can do, and even have your own radio show would be really good too. Whatever you can do to bring awareness. We went in front of legislators and I'm to the point of, I think radio is where we're staying for a while, and I think that keep getting the word out as much as possible. We're going to have some great guests come on this year. We've got a whole bunch of people we've been talking to. We're trying to raise more awareness, so the more we can do to keep this up, we're going to keep doing that this year. Like I said, we're on about 10 months out of the year. None of us get paid for this. You know, we do it because we see all the wrongs that they have done. So we're going to continue the work that we're doing. And is there anything else, Robin, we have to say? I know that Marcy and Hillary are off
Listen,
the rest of the night.
I'm trying to get in this because the thing is, when we talk about, yes, we've been to legislation. Well, it's not like we went to legislation and then we said, oh, well, that didn't work. We've been to legislation numerous times. We've been to legislation and then been to legislation again and been to legislation again, been to legislation again. I don't know, seven, eight bills, nine bills.
We went there probably a good 15 times in front of legislators.
Yeah, because that's one of the battlegrounds that these battles need to be fought in. And I think when we get our book published, which will be soon enough, one of the things that we will try to do is book a speaking tour, try to get to as many different places and talk to people about what's mm-hmm. going on as we can to spread the word,
exactly.
to get people to buy the book so they can inform themselves, but also just to get them to hear from someone who now has a book that says, hey, look, I'm an expert. I studied this. And maybe they'll listen a little better. Maybe they'll pay a little better attention. And maybe we can, you know, get the word out. because it's about saving lives. It's about protecting people. It's about repairing this world that we're in that is damaged and in hurting and pain from the wicked people that are serving themselves and destroying lives to do it. And so, you know, yeah, when we say, well, we've done legislation, yeah, we have, and we will do it again. We'll fight for more legislation. And, you know, yeah, we've been in courtrooms, and we'll be in courtrooms again, very likely, one of these days, you know, fighting some more. It's just a matter of, it becomes a lifestyle choice where you decide, hey, look, it's more important to me that I'm standing up for justice in whatever the arena is that's in front of me to stand up in. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to fight that fight because I recognize the knowledge that the good Lord has given me the skills of a warrior to stand up and fight this war. And that came because I had a lot of battles that were hard on me. I got hurt. I got wounded. I got injured. I got, you know, beat around and pushed down and cheated and lied to and stolen from. And all of these things prepared me to be tough enough to say, okay, well, bring it on. What are you going to do to me now? You know, big deal. I'm ready. Let's do battle because I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to give in. You'll have to beat me, and it's not an easy thing to do. And you're going to discover it's almost impossible. If you really go up against me, it's going to be really, really hard on you. Good luck, because it's going to be luck. I mean, because I've been in training my whole life by God Almighty, who said, look, I need angels. I need people who are tougher than the opposition. I need people who are stronger than the ones that are going to come against you. And they're going to come against you hard, and they work hard at being wicked, and they work mm-hmm. hard at the theft of that they're promulgating, and they work hard at, you know, hurting people and causing mm-hmm. them damage so that they can reap profits from that. And for you to be able to stand up against them, you're going to have to be hard. And so there's mm-hmm. you know, there's that aspect of me that's you know, it's like, and I know anyone who's been in this kind of thing long enough where they become a warrior. They realize that it's a war, and it's a real war. People are being right. killed every day.
And I know when you go into someone's in guardianship or someone like that, it is basically a war with what's going on. You have to basically put your whole case together that reads like a book. All the things that have gone wrong, all the phone calls, you should be, every time they hang up on you, you should be writing it down. Every time the guardians do this, every time the guardians do anything, you write it down. You keep logs of everything that they've done. And then you present it
an
all
email.
To
me. Email everybody, Luann.
Email.
Email. Email is a paper trail. A telephone call, oh, she said, he said, we said, she could have, should have, would have. But emails, yeah, emails don't, you can't manipulate an email. I can't change Tracy's email. It is what it is. You know, I can't change a police officer response to an email. I can't change the court email to manipulate what I want it to say or what I wish it would say. And that is really, really important to have proof that you did your due diligence. I've got every letter, every email, and I will tell you something. That attorney from United Healthcare, he told me, I'm giving you a week to get all those emails off of our server and onto your personal email account. Unfortunately, you're going to need them in the future. Imagine. And it might not have been much, but it was enough to make me understand that email trail that I created was going to be important one day.
Right, and that's why I tell everybody to make sure you get your case in order. To no matter if you go in front of any court, any judge, any attorney, any newscaster, it reads like a book. And mine is so clear of all the wrongs that I just gave it to Channel 7 News. They looked at it, they were like, "Wow!" That's all they said was, "Wow!" You know, I could go up in front of anybody and show them everything, the proof of what I have with my case with my family. So that's why I express to everybody, everybody knows, and our word is going to get out there, Robin. When we get our book out there, we're going to do some booking tours, and we're going to go ahead and talk about this more often. But we're going to be closing the show tonight because we only have about 4 minutes left. Next week, I know that we're going to be possibly bringing Kaz on from TS Radio. She is the hosting of with Marty Oakley Show. She's going to come on and tell her story. And we're going to be working somewhat with their show in coordination to where her show and our show are like the only two of this kind that we could figure out that puts the history of the guardianship abuse and the probate court scamming out there. We talk about a lot about that on our shows, and we want to stay out there, have the number one focus out there with both of the shows. This is what's going on, everybody. This is the reality we're facing, and you got to be careful because it could happen to you, and that's what we want to tell everybody. You're not exempt what color you are. You're not exempt what age you are. If the probate court-appointed people, they see something they want, they're going to go after it. And I'm telling you, it's not a pretty sight. I mean, we've all been through it. Everybody that comes on our radio show has had a loved one taken away, their estate plundered, some of the worst stuff I've ever seen. So let me ask you.
And also the people that don't have a voice, Luann. There's
right.
People out there that they don't even, we don't even know about them, and they don't have any family. They don't have any friends. They don't have anybody. The
exactly.
low-hanging fruit
right.
is unbelievable.
Right.
Right. And the other thing that they don't have is a cell phone because they've got a guardian that stole their cell phone or the ability to use a computer because they're not allowed access to a computer. Or so they got nothing. They're completely isolated. They're completely held against their will. They're completely silenced. And they're just prisoners. They are slaves. They are it's solitary confinement for the rest of their lives, and then they'll be murdered on the date that is chosen by the organization that decides to take their life, because that's the most perfect time to change over that bed to the next victim. It's
right. Yeah, it's
a system. They've got a racket going.
There
yeah.
you go. We are going to say goodbye.
Organized
now.
Crime at its best.
We're going
to
say goodnight from Hillary. We're going to say goodnight from Marcy. Thank you for co-hosting with us. Robin, we will see you soon. When you start speaking on tonight, our little puppy dog just was looking all for you. I wanted to tell you that. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that. And everybody, yesterday was Robin's birthday. So everybody, happy birthday, Robin. We wanted
thank
to make
you,
sure we
you.
Said that. And
you guys
we'll
stay warm.
Soon. Yeah. And we'll be back again next week. Until then, everybody have a good week. And just do whatever you can to put out the word. I mean, every time I go to a dentist's office, a doctor's office, I tell them what's going on, massages, whatever. People all know where we're coming from. So we're going to say goodnight, everybody. We are going to... play the NASGA commercial, National Association Stop Guardianship Abuse. They have a great commercial on guardianship abuse. We're going to go ahead and play that. Thank you for coming on tonight, Sharon, and we'll probably be seeing you again in a couple weeks. But we're going to talk a little bit more about this. But until then, Robin, everybody, have a good night. Thank you.
Good night, everybody. God bless
you.
Us, everyone.
Good night.
We stand
stay
with
warm.
You.
Did you know that yeah. elders and others are losing their rights to liberty and property? Anyone can petition a court to have a person deemed incapacitated. What if that person is you? The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian, sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home and sell your home to pay for services. Treasured belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit StopGuardianAbuse.org.